This time on TNT.
It's our 100th episode live from the Bud's house in Liberty Village in Toronto. Yeah!
How's it going, everybody?
Unbelievable. Thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
Sincerely.
Yeah.
Let's set the scene for the people listening,
yes.
Although I think all the people that listen are here. There's about a baker's dozen of folks, and looking around the room, there are folks from the Flatliners here, and Wes is here, the mayor of Greenbank.
Yeah, our bud Andrew Axai.
Andrew Axai, who hosted the Bud's House at the 50th
yes.
episode. We put out a message around our 50th episode saying we're going to be in Toronto, and would anyone be kind enough to have us over to their house? Andrew Axai said, I have a basement apartment in Etobicoke. There are lacrosse sticks on the walls. There's like cases of empties, but there are warm welcomes and cold beers, and we hope you come. And we did, and by gum, if it wasn't one of the greatest nights of my life.
It was good times.
So nice to have Andrew here. Tim from Arkells is here. Mark Forward's here.
Yes.
Listowel is represented in the house tonight. It promises to be a very special evening.
Yes. Well, not only will we talk about our own week and things that are going on during this 100th episode, but we will get into the minds of our peers, the wonderful people that have joined us today.
And we're giving away tens of dollars
yes.
worth of prizes.
Yes.
Which brings me to the very first giveaway
oh,
I would like to do.
Oh, wait a second. This is a big deal. This is
T made my phone case, the iPhone case that says Taggart and Torrens on it. It's one of a kind. And it came with 10 Taggart and Torrens pens. Wanted to give one to Andrew for hosting the Butthouse in the 50th
yep,
episode.
There's a TNT pen for you.
I can't believe the people clapped. I think
yeah.
they're all in. They've bought in.
Pen is key marketing in certain circles.
You know, my father-in-law worked in the farm machinery business, and he would say you'd sell someone a $100,000 tractor, and they'd be pleased, and then you'd give them a 30-cent pen, and you couldn't punch the smile off their face. Says a lot about human nature, doesn't it, when you give things away?
We have a plethora of food and libations. We have Swiss Chalet at the back. We got beer. We've got suds. We've got rye. We've got Timbits, 100 Timbits, to be exact.
Thanks
for the
to the flats.
Episode.
I might have overshot the landing on the chicken runway because I ordered online at Swiss Chalet, and I don't think you can do that in Truro, where I live. So I got two family-sized party packs, and both of the family-sized party packs come with a free chicken, which is kind of redundant, but people will be leaving along with the memories with chicken in their pockets, because we have a lot of chicken. Chicken and Timbits, bud.
Chicken and Timbits. So you're here for the day in Toronto. You're back. Once, every 3 or 4 months you pop in
every 3 or 4
here.
Months I pop in, but it's kind of like Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, like I'm frightened by honking horns and stuff. Like I fed my horse this morning, that's not even code for something, like I actually did that, and I really find it overwhelming when I come to the city, because I don't get to do it very often.
And so you were in the city, you did a little bit of running around, the weather is nice and not too bad, it's not too cold.
It's not, but
it's not like out east, which you got caught up with the cold weather last week.
But this is the myth.
The freezing cold.
This is the myth about the east coast of Canada, because everybody thinks it's colder there because it's by the ocean, but the truth is, the sun spends the summer heating up the ocean, and then the wind blows warm air all over the good people of the east coast. So it's actually warmer there than it is here. Whether it's wet or dry here, I find it more bone-chilling in Upper Canada, no offense, than I find it on the East Coast.
I wonder if we could maybe, looking around, have some kind of a contest to where people have to eat Timbits. That might work in
Wes,
a segment.
Step up to the mic, bud. Just because you're in the front row. Step up to the mic. We're going to take wagers on how many Timbits you can crush in the space of 10 seconds. Are you up for it?
You into it?
Start a GoFundMe to fix my cavities after?
A GoFundMe?
We can do that.
Do you have a cavity issue? Do you have some? Wes looks like he has a cavity to the point where he's one of those guys, if you have a donut, they got
to
dig it out with a toothpick or else they're going to scream in the bathroom for an hour and a half.
Do you know what I can do without is dental guilt? If I'm lying on my back in your dentist chair with my mouth open with a dental dam, you don't have to make the, noises. Right? People judge you for not flossing when you're in the dentist chair and you're vulnerable because your mouth is strapped open. Wes, step to the mic. You're not done.
Yeah. I find
that was a warm-up.
Just getting a Timbit.
I can't live with things sticking in between my teeth. I get crazy.
How many times a day do you floss?
Like 50. I'm not kidding. Like if I eat something, it's like right away it's got to come out or I'm losing my mind.
You can't floss 50 times a day.
Well, maybe 30. But definitely more than 15.
Twig? tooth or something?
Yeah, I always got. They're on my pockets. They're like loose change for a bus worker.
Do you reuse them or you use them once?
I'll reuse them. Yeah.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's if I'm using someone else's when it gets greasy.
Do you share toothpicks in your family?
No. No. But okay. If I, you know, if there wasn't anything and I found one, I would use it.
By applause, who thinks Wes can eat 6 Timbits in 10 seconds?
Yeah?
By applause, who thinks he can only choke down 3? All right.
I'm more in the
Are you guys saying so that?
I think full consumption.
It's gotta be swallowed and gone. So I think 6 would be quite a.
So 20 seconds. Try to go for 10 Timbits.
10 Timbits? You got the stopwatch?
I think.
Now we're cooking.
I think you don't even care if you win the contest. You just wanted to up your Timbit consumption.
I just love Timbits.
All right. Let's put the deck down there beside you so you can have a good reach, easy reach. Yeah. You gotta get
You need a towel and a water squirter in your open mouth?
Come on, Kobayashi.
Oh,
you gotta stuff it in the water and fire it in your gub.
Let's get 10 in your mouth.
If you got, it's like, he's like,
I'm not showing up prepared.
He's like Milos Raonic holding all the extra balls.
Yeah, tuck a couple up your shorts there, big time. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start
doing it
the
like
clock.
He's doing it like a professional.
And at 20 seconds, Wes, you have to say, how's it going, bud?
Yeah.
And if you can get that out of your mouth,
I apologize.
Then you're going to win a hat. Are you ready?
Okay.
3, 2, go.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
You're taking a drink? 5 seconds down.
A little pilsner to sort them.
3.
Here, come on. That's the Kobayashi crunch coming up.
Wes.
15 seconds.
5.
15 four,
seconds.
3.
4. 3.
2.
2. That's 20 seconds.
One.
Say it, bud.
How's it going, bud?
Yeah. Definitely.
Hey, Wes, come pick a prize from the treat trolley.
Yeah, come on up here.
Do you want a frig off Packers t-shirt?
First, we can get you a napkin, but that you can do that. You can get that yourself after you take the free
Do you
shirt.
Want a bud toque?
I have one of those.
Do you?
Do you want a shot?
This, though? Does it come in grit grinder size?
Grit grinder?
40-30 size, I think.
XL.
We have an extra large.
No.
Oh, you need a double XL?
Mm-hmm.
The good news is it's poorly made, so it'll be an extra small after one
it's
time through the dryer.
Anyways. I think
if you rolled around in an XL, if it's wet, you might be all right.
This bud sticker's one size fits all. There you go.
I need the white one.
Here.
Take
a couple cocks here, too.
We'll just be slapping them on the truck.
Black and white cocks.
Here's what happened in my life in the last week. I went on the internet service, and as a joke, I said, breaking news, R. Kelly is confirmed to perform at the inauguration. And I said this after the Russian urine story came out, after it broke, after there was a leak.
Yeah.
And I said it as a joke, trying to tie R. Kelly to Donald Trump in kind of an umbrella category of urine. Yeah. I said it as a joke, obviously, but I learned if you say anything with the word breaking in uppercase letters, people are like, that's news. It was shared 1,200 times. It was retweeted. It was liked, I think, close to 1,500 times. And in this particular community, those that love or support or defend R. Kelly, this was the type of folk that would quote it and add their own comment, like, ah, hell nah, or you have to turn in your black car, bitch, or you clowning. I got so much heat from this R. Kelly tweet. I'm not going to say it was because of me, but R. Kelly's camp had to issue a statement saying rumors surrounding R. Kelly performing at the inauguration are categorically untrue.
That's crazy. I remember he himself said, I don't know where this has come from, but I'm not playing the inauguration.
And even R. Kelly quoted the tweet from his own people saying, that's all about that, or something like that. So I've been trying to think of one ever since. I tried to float Donald and Ivanka were going to slow dance to Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon at the inauguration, and that didn't get quite the traction. But I think I have the tweet that can compete with the R. Kelly one, and I want you to tell me what you think.
All right.
Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small.
Oh. Very good.
At the inauguration. But I don't know if folks on Twitter know from the Jewel and the living in a van and the anchorage of it all.
I'd say that's good enough to go.
Should I try it?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tweet
it
right now.
We're going to see if it
at the end of the show,
ground.
And everyone write down on a piece of paper how many retweets you think this will have by the end of the show.
Oh, nice.
And the person two closest to, without going over, Price is Right Styles, will win a prize.
Okay.
So take some paper, ballots, pass it back. Write your name. Write your name and the number of retweets you think Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small. Tags, you take the wheel while I tweet this real quick.
Okay. All My hands are small. That's the one where she's like, my hands are small. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know the rest of it, but it's... But I remember every single time she did an interview with somebody, she'd be like, and I lived in a van and I had no money.
I know.
Never had anything.
Speaking of dentistry, she had aggressive eye teeth. And I think she's had them sanded down. If you look at early pictures of Jewel, circa
1998,
like that, she had aggressive eye teeth.
Aggressive eye teeth.
Should I say in honor of Donald Trump or Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small at inauguration? That's it?
Breaking. My hands are small. There it is. He's firing it out.
Okay, so is everyone writing down on a piece of paper their name and the number of times they think this will be retweeted by the end of this episode?
Yes.
Our name.
Well, just make a mental note, Wes.
Okay, just so we're clear, should I put hashtag inauguration, hashtag inauguration 2017, hashtag...
Donald Trump.
Huh?
Yeah. Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then here's what I'm going to say. Breaking. Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small for hashtag Donald Trump at hashtag... Okay.
Bang.
It's also... I'm also going to lose some people, but I'm willing to do that.
No, you're not going to lose anybody.
Breaking. Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small for hashtag Donald Trump at hashtag inauguration.
Put the 2017 on there.
Do the what? Oh, like actually say him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He'll probably retweet it. Oh. Knowing him, he'll be like, yes, it was fantastic.
Wow.
Just found this out. This is tremendous idea.
Okay, so it's at Donald Trump and it's hashtag inauguration.
Yeah. Donald Trump.
Real Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You don't want to get the fake one.
What was your 100th show about? I don't even know.
There was this tweet that we did.
Oh, there it is. Real Donald Trump.
There you go.
Breaking. Jewel confirmed to perform My Hands Are Small for at real Donald Trump at hashtag inauguration. Yeah. Tags, you hit tweet.
I'm hitting tweet.
Wait.
What?
Step to the mic.
You got to step
this
to the mic.
This is your area of business. What is your name? Where are you from, Sylvia?
I'm Sylvia.
Correct.
And I currently live in Toronto.
That's true.
Formerly of Halifax.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is it right what I'm saying about the cold? Do you find it more cold here in the wintertime?
No, I was laughing. It's very cold.
It's cold there.
But it's wet there. Like it's damp there.
So to be clear, you're saying Halifax is colder.
Yes.
Different cold. It's different cold.
It's a wet cold.
It's wet cold. Yes.
So
it's
get
me the fuck out of here cold.
You work on the internet service.
I do.
As your job. Please explain to the folks in layperson's terms what it is you do and why.
And get in on that mic.
So I work for Cineplex. And we tweet
I've heard
about
of them.
The movies.
Yeah.
So it's very, very scientific, laborious, and stressful.
Do you have a scene card?
I do.
Have you benefited from your scene card in any way?
Like, I collect points.
Do you? You redeemed them for anything?
I think we took him to a movie recently.
There you go.
Really?
My brother-in-law, yeah. We took him along on things.
Not to brag, but as I was ordering the Swiss Chalet for tonight's gathering, it asked if I wanted to pay for the Swiss Chalet with my scene card.
That's right.
And all I could think was, how many movies do you have to see to buy two family packs on my scene card?
But then you get the free chicken.
You get free chicken.
Is that how you get the free chicken?
I think so.
I'm going to start dropping my scene card. Like, is there a table? I'm sorry, there's nothing available. Really? Maybe this will change your mind. I have 7 points on my scene card because I took my kids to Trolls.
Okay, let's
tweet
this.
Okay, so you're suggesting the hashtag should be different.
No, the hashtags are fine. The handles are fine. But the song's actually just called Hands.
I know, but I feel like we need to suggest that they're small in order for the joke to work.
The joke won't work.
I think they'll know.
No.
Do you think? No, I just need the small hands.
Okay, by applause, who thinks hands is okay?
Okay, so we're going
to... And who thinks we need to put the word small in that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. These are the things that keep me awake at night, wondering... No, you're right. It's a bit of a stretch. And the best jokes are the ones that are
so
perfect.
So let's get this out there into the Twitterverse.
All right, there it goes, guys.
It's gone.
Did
boom.
You get Donnie involved?
Huh?
Yeah, Donnie's in on it. Yeah,
did I give him a what?
Did you get him involved?
I got him involved, yeah.
We're having fun.
Oh, you guys were all ready to go. Already on my page? Oh, I have one like and one retweet already from in this room. All right, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
It is shocking when you look on the internet and see what folks are saying about Donald Trump. It is like, it does feel like a living nightmare. It does feel like it's impossible, but it is happening.
It is.
In fact, and by the time this episode's out, it will have happened.
People will be in the muck, as they say.
What do you think really will be the implications of Donald Trump being president?
I think it's just going to be a long, continual shitstorm until he gets out of there. Where it's just too much out of controlness.
But
it'll be like what happened with Rob Ford times a million. Just where nothing really got passed, but it was just a big hornet's nest every day. And it's like, oh, he's talking, so I'm not listening. Remember how crazy it was when he first went in there?
But people loved him.
No, but in the actual, like when he was in City Hall, nothing, like everybody else was just kind of looking at their feet when he tried to get something done. I just have that feeling might happen. But who knows? He might fuck us big time.
I was working in rural Texas the second time Bush was elected. It was Bush against Kerry, and it was really Bush against not Bush. And the town that I was working in was called Vega. And their slogan was, "What happens in Vega ain't much." And there were 900 people in the town. There were 7 churches. And the first day I was there, I met the judge. His name was Donnie Allred. And he said, "Well, Jonathan, we don't judge people here as long as you walk with Jesus." So pretty heavy-handed kind of crowd. These folks were very pro-George Bush. And in fact, there was a guy who was very effeminate on our crew. His name was Davis. And the good people of Vega couldn't quite put their finger on what was different about Vegas. It's different. That was their adjective for everything that wasn't like anything they'd seen before. So finally, near the end of the show, one of them said, "Davis, we think we got you figured out." And he was like, "Oh, here it comes. You snowboarder?" That was the thing, the furthest outside the realm of possibility that Davis could possibly be.
Yeah.
What we forget is we tend to think America is New York and California, when in fact, a lot of the so-called flyover states, that's the case.
Yes.
Like I went to Outback Steakhouse with Judge Donnie Allred and his wife, Melanie, and before the food came, they put their hands out across the table for me to take their hands and bow my head in prayer. We're not used to that kind of thing in Canada.
No. I did a lot of touring in the Midwest, and I got a good feel for legit America. And, it's got more to do with, like, watching NASCAR out front of the porch with 300 pull-out chairs. And a barbecue just starts.
But they're nice folks.
Yes,
that's the misconception,
absolutely.
Too. We think because they can't name all the provinces that they're not nice people.
I
most Canadians can't name all the states.
I don't watch NASCAR, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it's very intense that a car that heavy can go that fast.
Isn't that their slogan?
Yeah.
Car that heavy can go that fast.
Have you seen how steep those raceways are on the sides?
They're steep.
Just going on the side of a wall.
Jeremy
208
Taggart,
miles an hour.
As we celebrate 100 shows, some better than others. This one, jury is still out.
Yeah.
What was the worst Our Lady Peace show you ever played? Where was it and what happened?
I love how you're like, after these 100 shows, and then all of a sudden throwing that out there.
Well, there must have been some doozies.
I would say the worst one ever was the first one ever. The first show we ever played was in Montreal opening for the Tea Party. And
But who can open for those guys?
Yeah. It was at a club called Backstreet. And we were nervous and we started playing. And I think we might have got in 2 songs in. And then all of a sudden, 2 of us started playing a different song and the other 2. And we totally went off the rails, like crazy off the rails, to the point where it's like we had to stop. You know, it's bad when you have to stop playing because everyone's just on different pages. And we didn't even, that was the end of the set. It was like, tail between the legs, walk out, Like, that was, like, why even, what are we even doing pretending to play in a band?
And was Jeff Martin on the side of the stage fellas?
Yeah, yeah, those guys were like, whoa, the fuck, the fuck was that?
You would actually be great.
You guys are awesome.
It'd be great if bands could take timeouts the way sports teams do. Like, guys, sorry, audience, will be right with you.
Yeah, no.
What's going on out there, guys?
It was a, like, timeout, and then people probably thought we would get back up, but it was just so bad that we just were like, fuck this place. Let's get out of here. Start over.
Do you have, in all the years and all the arenas, do you have a show that sticks out as that one actually went perfectly start to finish?
Sure. Yeah, no. I mean, the good nights are a lot. There's plenty of great nights, like a Maple Leaf Gardens, you know, having that place sold out and going to it. And Tim was there. He was just a little kid at 15. I met him at the sound check party. I think you came with your dad. And
I got to find those pictures.
Yeah, there's some classic photos with Tim Oxford sitting there as a 15-year-old meeting me for the first time. But to play the gardens and have it be rammed, and then, like, after the show, get to walk home afterwards. I lived at Richmond and Sherburn, so it was like 4 or 5 blocks walk. I was like, that's happening, man, like, to play there and walk.
Did you walk
home
to the venue?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember hearing about the Hip guys playing the ACC and Gord taking the subway home, you know, and just thinking that embodies Canadianity.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what are you thinking about on the walk home from Maple Leaf Gardens
after you just played and everyone's like, no, don't, like, on the subway and nobody really cares that you're there or not?
Right.
Yeah,
because I don't remember having too many nights where I was like, I threw that in the pit on my drive home. Like, maybe that
walking home,
highs and lows, mine were more steady.
Walking home, it's like, yes, that was Sue Johansson on my show today.
Yeah.
And you're walking home. Sex with Sue.
Sex with Sue could not be stymied. Do you have a Sex with Sue comment? Yeah, sure. Approach the mic.
Yeah, get up.
You're one of our online buds who won a ticket to come tonight.
Yes.
Very happy to be here.
Introduce yourself. Where are you from?
My name's Kara. I'm born in Toronto. Grew up in Prince Edward Island.
Nice. Whereabouts?
Came back in Toronto.
Wow.
New London.
Would you guys excuse us for a minute? What's your father do? Does he have the home hardware?
So my grandparents have a potato farm.
Yeah.
Can't be any more cliche.
Wow.
Yep.
What's your last name, Glant?
It's a McEwen is the farm.
Oh, McEwen's, right. Are you related to Derek? There's a Derek McEwen from Summerside.
There's a Darren that I know.
Oh, Darren. Yeah. Well, now, wouldn't Darren be Derek's second cousin?
Probably. I'm sure they're related. Sure.
I'm sure they are, is the truth. You have a comment about Sue Johansson.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's how I learned how to have sex, was watching WandaVision and fucking Sue Johansson came on after school.
When she's like got the condom.
Great. Nice. Sex. Educated. Anyways, but it was probably better than any sex talk that I would have ever gotten
that's
from my
great
parents. So thank you for that, Jonathan.
Nice. Thank you.
Make
thank
sure
you,
you put the
that
condom on right way. Don't put it on backwards.
This was the great thing about Sue Johansson. When we booked her on our show, it was, I mean, obviously the show was on at 4:30. It was a little aggressive language-wise at that
you
time.
You and Oprah.
Yeah. That was more like me and Shirley Solomon.
That's right. Shirley.
Yeah. Or Camilla on CTV.
Camilla.
But Sue Johansson spoke in terms that kids understand. And that's one of the things that I'm most proud of about shows like Street Sense and JonoVision. It didn't ever condescend to the audience. It just said, this is how much it costs to make Reeboks. This is how much they are in the store. Here's why. You can still buy them if you want, but just so you have all the information. And Sue did that in ways that made teenagers' faces turn purple, because she could say in the most casual of ways, the thing about having load on your face is like, oh my God, like stuff I'd never even heard.
Yeah.
She could say in the most casual of ways. What you...
And that's why you can't feel your legs the next day.
Right. Yeah. The thing that she didn't ever publicize much, and the thing that made her even more special, was behind the scenes, she did some generous things for communities. Like, she, I think, if I have this right, she gave her cottage to an AIDS hospice in Toronto so people living out their final months could go stay in a nice place. Do you know that story? Yeah. She was a very special person, and you know, she really cracked through, and we took a lot of flack for having someone like Sue Johansson on the show talking about that stuff in those terms. But those are the things that I'm pretty proud of looking back on shows like JonoVision.
No, that was a great episode.
There were also some terrible episodes because teenagers would get booked as guests on Tuesday. Like, so your best friend stole your pants? Yes. And then by Thursday, it's like, so you're still coming? Yeah, she gave the pants back. Okay, technically, I left them at her house. She didn't really steal them. Like, shows would just fall apart. And I remember begging audiences to stay because they were bussed in against their will in the first couple of seasons. And it was like, please, if we fly in some pizza, will you guys stay for one more segment? And I remember one of the early shows, someone was bussed in against their will, and this guy was sitting in the back. And I was asking a question like, so what happened with your friend when you found out she had a crush on whatever? And I heard, boom, boom, pst, pst, boom, beer it, and turned around. And there's a guy doing this in the back row with headphones on.
You're laying
because
back,
when the show started,
out.
It was like, do you want to go to science class or anywhere else in the world? And all the anywhere else in the world kids were bussed into our studio. And that's who was in the studio watching Jonavision.
Did you ever do like have one of those like Jerry Springer moments where a fight started? Maybe between Snake and Wheels?
Our kingdom to have one of those moments. Of course we didn't.
Yeah.
The only thing that was mortifying was the first episode was this group of sisters, Angela and someone else. The only reason I remember Angela is because in the first promo for my new talk show on CBC, one of the clips was, "Don't even go there, Angela." And everywhere I went for weeks, people were like, "Oh, you have the Don't Even Go There, Angela show." It's like, I promise you, it's more than Don't Even Go There, Angela. Like, there's so much more.
Just capturing a moment of somebody pissed off at her friend.
But it was always the wrestling match between the sketch comedy show for teenagers that we wanted to make and the let's sit around on beanbag chairs and rap about the issues show that CBC thought was in their mandate.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you had to be the in-betweener.
Yes. Mark Forward, would you approach the mic or there's no way? Maybe with a bit of coaxing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark
Forward. Come on, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Approach the mic. Have a Timbit.
Come on.
I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Just a couple questions. You can't have a stand-up sit-down.
Keep the applause going because maybe he needs coaxing.
Yeah.
As an update.
This is not a good idea.
No, it's really good.
No, it's great.
As an update, just so you know, our Jewel tweet has 19 retweets and 46 likes.
Nice. Oh,
wow. It's performing pretty well.
Not bad.
Yeah. Mark Forward, the thing that I admire about you is that as a stand-up comic and actor, you are fearless.
Yeah.
And
except for when you're trying to cross a bridge on Periscope.
That's true.
What happened there?
It was a classic moment I saw on social media. Mark was trying to cross, was it in Nanaimo or whatever, the rope bridge there
in Vancouver?
In
yeah,
Vancouver? Yeah. You know, the stand bridge, standing bridge?
Yeah.
He couldn't go across. Apparently you have a phobia and you were trying to face it.
You couldn't cross that bridge when you came to it?
Yeah, I'm afraid of heights.
Really?
I cross it, every time I go to Vancouver, I try to cross it, and I've crossed it one time out of three.
How'd it go?
One third? Like, what's that percentage wise?
One third?
33-ish?
So you're saying you've done one third three times?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Forward.
Hey, come up to the mic and everyone will laugh at you.
Yeah. No, we have to make this a safe place.
Sons of bitches.
Hey, Mark, no, wait. Tonight is
special.
How about
a contest? How many deers are on his shirt?
It's a contest where nobody wins.
What's that contest?
Oh. Mark Forward, this is the question that I would like to ask you because I think this is interesting about your career arc.
All right.
When you started out, you were doing stand-up in the voice of people that you saw around you.
Yeah.
But you had an epiphany where you realized if you're going to succeed, you had to find your own voice.
Yeah.
Tell the people about that because I think it's good advice for no matter what you're doing in your life.
Oh, God. First off, I would like to say that they had rye here.
Yeah.
And I haven't drank rye in probably 15 years.
Do you need a reload?
No, I don't need and they have it in the red cups.
Yeah. They is us, you know, by the way.
The red cups that remind you of everything you've ever done wrong in college.
Yeah.
When I started stand up, no one cares about it.
They do.
They do. Right.
The people
so when I started stand up, I was doing jokes for what I thought everyone wanted to hear.
Airplane food. Aren't men and women different? Like the usual low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, but I was even lower. I was more...
What's up with worms? Well, like that stuff?
I was the biggest What's Up With Worms comic in Canada. I had two CDs, in fact.
Of What's Up With Worms material?
What's Up With Worms.
Underground comedy with Mark Forward.
What's Up With Worms 2, I called it.
Yeah.
By the way, you can now sell What's Up With Worms.
Deeper Than Coffins with Mark Forward. Underground comedy.
So then I realized I didn't want to be that. So I'd rather be a comic that the people that came that liked what I was going to do, I'd rather bring them to me than me bring myself to them. That's where I learned.
You would rather be everything to some instead of something to everybody.
Thank you.
There right?
You yeah.
Yeah, and so who are the people around you that inspired you, that helped you find your voice? Like, who are the people that you saw that you were like, that
John
guy?
John Doerr was the first one I saw that did his whole set from the front row. And he was watching the show, commentating on nothing. He was commentating and attacking the comic that wasn't there.
Oh, great.
And I was sitting in the back of the room thinking, well, he can't do that. And then I thought, well, why can't he do that? And I had this whole back and forth in my head, which that night I changed pretty much.
Found your swing secret.
Nope.
You're Ben Hogan of comedy moments.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if you've ever seen John Doerr on Conan, for example, the fishing joke, it's like a 6-minute bit.
Yeah.
And there are a few moments, like around the 2 or 3 minute mark, where you're cringing because you think, how can this ever pay the dividends that he has set up for it for it to pay?
But the funny thing about that joke is we used to do it for 20, 25 minutes.
Right.
If you don't know the joke, as I look to the crowd.
Yeah.
I just want to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home.
It turns into Andy Kaufman, like, what's happening?
No, the joke was he would talk about how people would say, like, oh, you don't like Van Halen? Like, come on, Panama. And they would act out Panama. And then he would go, like, you don't do that with anything else. You don't go, like, you don't like fishing? And then he would act out fishing. And then anyone who was on the show before him would come up and fish with him. And then the next thing you know, I'm driving an imaginary ATV through the crowd going, hey, guys, you know, but they're fishing. And then, you know, the one guy's upset that he's hitting on his wife across the lake. And this whole thing goes on for 25 minutes. And then the blow line is, you don't like fishing? And the longer we took it, the funnier it was.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but man. He did it on Conan, which was great, and they had rain and all this.
But you have to be so confident and genuinely not care about marinating in discomfort for 24 minutes before the payoff is insane.
Yes.
Where do you get that kind of moxie? Because most people who end up in the performing arts need some kind of feedback or love from the crowd. What do you do on nights when it's not there?
I don't know. All I can say on that is, and then I'll leave. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
The first time I watched a comic kill for an hour straight, I knew there was something wrong, and I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be funny for an hour. And I know that sounds weird. It doesn't make any sense to people saying, "Well, isn't that what you strive for?" No, I just felt there was something wrong with that, and the crowd loved that comic. And I remember leaving that night going, no, I want moments of quiet. I want moments of
fear
and not knowing what's coming. And there's something brilliant in silence. And I think those are the comics you all follow and you all look up and search for. And the ones that kill for an hour, you don't. You just go, oh. Yeah, that was something.
Nipsey Russell?
Yeah.
No, who was it? You're not going to say.
No, I'm not going to say.
Killed for a straight hour.
I'm
not going to say it.
The thing about your comedy, Mark, before we let you go, is that for the folks in the crowd, it feels like you're speaking directly to us as individuals, and you do feel scared, and you do feel bad about yourself, and then you do feel in on the joke, and going through the valley of self-doubt for the audience is quickly erased in your mind when you climb Mount Inclusive. And that's quite a gift for a comic to take you on a journey like that.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah, Mark.
What's the tap shoe joke that
I've
he
never
told?
Seen the tap Mark shoe perform joke? Live.
Can you
but it's I one hear of my, that's what happens.
It's one of my favorite jokes that I've heard.
Let me see if I can do it. Yeah. And I'm paraphrasing, but the gist of the joke
it's
is
classic.
And sometimes you think variations on this theme. If you were to witness yourself be described on the news, where they say like a portly middle-aged gentleman was seen escaping, and you're watching the news thinking portly. I don't think I'm portly. Like I've let myself go a little bit, but I don't know if portly is the word I'd use to describe. So Mark's joke, the gist of it is, imagine if you were a serial killer and then the news labeled you with like, it's the Green River murderer. And you're like, what? They didn't see the tap shoe that I left there? And what am I going to do with these 200 tap shoes I have in my house that I had big plans for? This is the gist of the joke.
The tapper.
Next level comedy.
That is very funny.
Before
stuff.
We take a little break,
yeah.
Are there any questions from the people?
Yes.
And then when we come back, we're going to get an update from the Flatliners because you guys have a new record coming out
yeah.
and big plans to tour.
Yeah.
Mark, you have a question?
Yeah.
How does it feel to be at your 100th episode?
Ooh. Great question.
Nice.
It's a good question.
I feel very fulfilled myself to see so many bods from different walks and people that I've known for a long time. Friends, new friends. It's fabulous. I couldn't ask for a better time, Mark.
I think we would both say that we didn't really have any plans when we started doing the podcast other than, for me, I was working on Trailer Park and Mr. D at the time, and I'd shoot them, and then 6 months later, maybe the shows would come out. I was looking for something really immediate. I was looking for something that kind of exploited social media and a way to get instantaneous feedback. I think we thought it might be fun, but I think what we grossly underestimated is Canadianity was a word we kind of made up as a joke, semi-facetiously at the start, and then discovering that that actually has real foundation and real resonance with people, and that being a bud and budism isn't just a funny word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movement.
Yeah.
And we see this when we do our live shows, all across the country, that people show up on a snowy night in Saskatoon in the winter.
Yeah.
That's been the real kick. And I think the lesson that's been a real takeaway has been when you do something for the right reasons, it kind of falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that we need to be able to do something on our show is the desire to do it and do it for the right reasons and do it to try to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Certainly not to monetize it.
No. And thank God that Tim Oxford over here saves our bacon.
Yes.
Got to give Tim Oxford credit for weekly doing this throughout thick and thin, touring the world. And no
Tim
matter
Oxford
what.
Plays in Arkells, as we mentioned. Jeremy will text him and say, any chance you're going to get 67 out? I'm going to try to get it out today.
Where cool. are you, bud?
Are you thinking today? I'm on stage in Germany.
Yeah. Playing
texting
a show.
Texting between songs
yeah.
to tell us he's going to try to find some Wi-Fi at Starbucks
yeah.
to get the show out. Round of applause for Tim yeah. Oxford, everybody.
Yeah.
And before we take a break,
yeah.
Mike McFarlane, who's here, we're in the party room at his condo building in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
is a first responder bud. He started a website for us when we didn't even know we should probably have one.
Yep.
He started a Facebook page. He does it for love, certainly not for money. And when we said we needed a place to do our 100th episode, he was like, well, I don't know, you know, but we have the party room in my condo building. We could do it there. He bought chippies. He got bags of party ice. He got rye.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has a job. I was saying to Tim on the drive over, like, it didn't occur to me for the first few months that taking care of our website wasn't his job. Yeah. Because he's so good at it.
Yeah.
So the fact that we have Andrew Axie here, who was the Bud House 50 episode, and Mike McFarlane was kind enough to have us here tonight, just, I think, personifies the spirit around the kind of show that we do.
Yes.
So a round of applause for Mike, everybody.
Thanks.
So yeah. Let's take a break. More TNT 100 coming right up after this.
How are you now? It's Wayne from Letterkenny, and you're listening to the 100th episode of TNT, which makes me laugh so goddamn bad.
Hey, it's Alan Doyle here. You're listening to the 100th episode of Taggart and Torrance. How wicked is that? Rock on, boys. Cheers.
Hey, podcast listeners.
We're the Arkells.
And we want to wish a very happy 100th episodes to TNT. Let's go have a beer, bods.
Yeah.
Hey, is that Giuseppe working on the old the dressing?
Yeah, I think it is.
Getting the mic set up?
Giuseppe, I seem to have spilled some glass in the studio. Could you pick it up, please? Be a love, will you?
You guys are so crazy with this porno music. You're making me nuts, you know? I cut my hand, you make me scream. Why you do this to me?
Can you just pick up the glass, please, love? I've Eric Clapton coming in 15 minutes.
Why is such a mess in here? I figured out myself. I put it here. One more time, I clean this for you once more. And that's the end of it. Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm not. It didn't go yet.
You have to vamp for 16 more bars. Did anyone see, if you listen to another episode we did, we're talking about Michael Caine? Did anyone hear that? Someone sent us a picture of Michael Caine on cocaine. That's the... Oh, here it comes.
I clean this in one more time. Here we go. Okay.
It's such a complex premise. Let's think about the characters that we've done on the show in the 100 episodes. I think one of the first character combinations that we did that really stuck was Salvatores.
Oh, yes.
Because in the early going, there was Salvatores and there was Bri Ashley.
Yeah.
And Salvatore didn't understand your Canadian ways.
Yeah.
Because you are so uptight, you Canadians. You cannot touch you anywhere. You panicked. You called 911.
Even though we're working at the white spot and you're not supposed to be grabbing people while you're washing
dishes. I was just trying
dishes.
To grab the cutlery.
Bri Ashley and Salvador was kind of the first one that really landed because, I know how it started, because they had taquitos at the Irving in Truro.
That's right.
And I just imagine Spanish people driving by the Irving and going, oh, the taquitos at the Irving are wonderful. Like, who is like, you know, we need to get some taquitos? Gotta go to the Irving, bud. Turns out they're actually pretty legit taquitos.
Really?
Yeah.
The taquitos at the Irving are wonderful.
There's taquitos at 7-Eleven, too.
They are wonderful, too.
For some reason, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
The taquitos at the Irving are wonderful.
They just twist and twist when they can last up to 7-8 days.
So this was the funny thing. I think we were doing Salvador when I was in the writing room on Trailer Park Boys Season 10, and we were trying to come up with new things for J-Rock. So we decided that J-Rock went to Cancun and married a Spanish woman and came back with a Spanish accent. But the woman that he married didn't know that he wasn't actually Spanish. So that's why in front of the guys, he was like, don't blow this for me, dog. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty high concept and a bit high risk, but J-Rock's Spanish would not have existed had it not been for Salvador's.
I also think it's funny that he exited the park as Salvador.
As a Spanish guy, yeah. Such an onset. Well, if that's not jumping the shark... It's pretty hard to go from, do you know what I'm saying through your face, back to, know what I'm saying? It's pretty hard to circle the wagons back on that. What other characters were there in the early going that people liked? One of the ones I remember for some reason was the women who were a couple who both wore down vests and lived in Yellowknife.
Oh, yeah, with the cleaning out the closet jams.
Yeah, they owned an island, and they went to clean out the closet.
That's right. Well, there's also... the radio couple, the Maureen. What are the names?
Yeah, Jer, Bear, and Colleen in the morning.
Jer, Bear, and Colleen was a good one.
One of the great battles of the sexes in the workplace.
Yeah, where Colleen.
Because Jer, Bear was so hard on Colleen.
Yeah, and he always rubs it in her face that he makes double that she makes.
And Jer, Bear, it's born out of a radio show in Halifax that I listen to sometimes where you can tell that the male host and the female host do not like each other at all. Yeah. And they'll be playing some inane game like, it's time for birthdays. This person was on Friends. How old do you think Lisa Kudrow is today? And he's like, 61. She's like, 61? And he makes it turn to like, well, you didn't give me a minute to think. Like, gets really heavy where he's angry.
Gets all dark right away.
I don't need long to think to know Lisa Kudrow's not 61.
Yeah. We're having a party tonight, Colleen. Maybe you'll get dressed up.
Oh, that sounds really fun. You and your loser friends? Can't wait to not go to that. She's not funny.
But it's actually probably more combos than not combos with the female and the male.
What with there being two of us and all?
Can't stand each other, and especially when the male's making like twice the amount of money.
Someone pointed out that your female characters sound like, is it Rusty from Friendly Giant?
Yeah.
Whenever I talk like a girl, I sound like... Rusty. Yeah, and whenever I talk like a girl, I talk like this.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the exact same voice.
That's why I think Bree Ashley, if I had to play a girl on camera...
It would be Bree Ashley?
It would be Bree Ashley. And I
what would you
be...
do about the beard, bud?
Oh, I'd figure something out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just put flour in that sucker and make it disappear into your face?
Tape it down and then cover it with skin? It's like some alien Spock face?
Speaking of tape it down, for reasons I won't bore you with, tomorrow night I am shooting something in full drag.
Yeah.
Like, and I think stack the deck is the term they use for the what you do with your bird. And I had to pick an alter ego. My alter ego is Cindy Crosby.
That's good. That's good.
I'm a little bit nervous about it.
That's yeah. Like, are you like the concept is you're just trying drag and seeing what it's like.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, Guinness Book of World Records holder for the oldest living, still performing drag queen is in Toronto. Her name is Michelle Dubarry. She is 85 years old, and she still performs, and she's in the Guinness Book of World Records, and she's going to teach me how to be a drag queen.
What else are you thinking, Guinness World of Book Records?
Well, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound right.
I was just trying to... figure out
I was thinking like world records by Guinness. So Michelle Dubarry lives in this very city of Toronto, and imagine in the 60 years she has been performing the changes that she's seen. I know that I'll meet her tomorrow, but they used to say that cops would wait outside those establishments for people who performed in drag and arrest them. That was like an offense back in the day.
I wonder if she helped out when John Candy did Divine. Remember the SCTV when John Candy would put on the full-on Divine. He'd be like, how's it going? And a huge...
He'd be a beautiful
woman. Affair. Yes, he
These was. Were the short list of drag names for me. Tammy Hunter, but I didn't think everybody would remember Tommy Hunter. Wes, you don't know that? How old are you
Tommy
again?
Hunter?
26. Oh, yeah, 26, right.
I still like Joan Candy.
Joan Candy is a good one. Well, I thought Man Murray.
Oh, that's a good
But then
one.
I realized...
But who's got a name like, Man?
Well, I was from PEI, Man of Green Gables. That's a layup. But those are drag king names. I've learned all this in the last week. So Man Murray would be a great drag name. And then I was thinking, Shania, I'm really a man. But it's like, how do you even spell that?
Mm-hmm.
So Cindy Crosby felt like, you know, there might be some puck opportunities.
Yeah.
It's also...
I wonder if Cindy Crosby's as good as Sandy Crosby.
Do you think Sandy Crosby's better?
I think Cindy's better. Cindy. All right.
Or Cindy, like S-I-N-D-E-E.
Yeah.
But you don't really get to spell it when you're on the stage.
Ooh.
I am less worried about what to do with my horn than I am what to do about
it?
Eyelashes.
Oh. Just do the old Eric Andre tape down. Where
well,
you just kind of cover
it
up.
Under and up,
yeah, you
right?
just got to... You just gotta fire it. I don't even like you're wearing pants or a dress, aren't you? You're not gonna have no clothes on.
I'm not wearing pants, that's for sure.
No, but you don't have to worry about covering it up if you're wearing something like a dress or whatever.
Well, put it this way, my calls would be answered in sequence.
Ah.
Because that's what I'm wearing. But thank you, sir. I found out actually what they do is you know you've got your twig and bits.
Yeah.
The bits actually, for if you're doing it for real, they get
scooped.
They get shoved into a cavity, and then
they get tucked.
And then your manatee. Do you know Florida manatees are endangered? That gets taped.
What do you mean? Hold. Like they shove the sack in where it goes somewhere that's not supposed to go.
From whence it came, it's nature's way.
In the cave? Well, your own personal?
That's part of what you want to do, though,
the
is...
The cave tuck.
You can't have any unsightly silhouettes.
And then you just, like... when they're tucked up like that, can't you, like, somehow step on them? Or, like, move your body in a way where you crush one?
I don't know. Maybe you're tucking them out of... It's like Punxsutawney Phil. It's like 6 more weeks of winter. Like... You're tucking them in so they can't see their own shadow.
Who shows you the tuck part? They're not going to get that in the... They're not going to be like, okay, and then let's do the tucking thing.
Well, I don't think anyone helps with the tuck. I think I'm on my own for that.
I don't think you need to tuck anything. You're wearing a dress. Who cares? What are you going to do? Big, we'll see. Farley Mowat rowing around down the hill with a kilt on?
By the way, did anyone do Chris Farley Mowat for Two-Faced? Because that was my favorite contest that we did, where you have to take two names and combine them into one name and then make a Photoshop picture. Someone did Katie Lang, but it was Kraft Dinner as the hair on Katie Lang. Like, that was genius.
The reason why I mentioned Farley Mowat rolling around with a kilt on was somebody told me a story that they met Farley Mowat at some event, and he got really banged up and was like, he had a kilt on, and he started just kind of rolling around, and the kilt kept falling up, and it's just like everything was going like everywhere. Just everybody was having a look at Farley's whatnot.
At his mowat. Was anything tucked in the cavity in that
situation? No, that was just like, just enjoy kind of thing. Enjoy it all.
Was it a wedding?
I heard he used to bullshit, like all those stories about him going up north are all bullshit.
When you say going up north, is that a euphemism?
Well, like all the, like, the Lost in the Barrens, is that him? Yeah. Is that Farley Mowat? That's all bullshit, I heard. There was like another guy who's a legit guy who was like, yeah, I remember him. He just got shit-faced in his fucking cabin the whole time. And I'm the one who did all this stuff.
Next, you'll tell me Jack London never saw a wolf.
Yeah.
That was the guy, right? The wolf
guy? No, he's the seagulls, isn't he? Jonathan Seagulls.
That was Farley Mowat, the wolf? Was it?
That's right. What's Lost in the Barrens? That's another one.
What's Jack London's book?
Too? See, that's bullshit, though, that one. The other one's all real.
We should call of the wild. That was it. But there was a wolf in that mask.
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a wolf on the cover.
Not Jonathan Livingston Seagulls. That's a whole other ball.
We should play Mow It or Don't Know It.
Yeah.
Was there a wolf? Mow It or Know It?
Yeah. We got to play that.
That's the game that nobody wanted. Same with Talk About. We talked about Talk About on our show because there's a rich history of Canadian game shows. My all-time favorite is Bumper Stumpers. Remember?
Yeah.
See you
Al
later.
Dubois.
Yeah, Al Dubois.
Can we play Talk About Timbits for 20 seconds?
Yeah, sure.
Can you go?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to get my stopwatch on this, Ma. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The stopwatch has been going for 122 days or something. Look at that.
You can stop it.
Holy shit. Okay.
Let's get someone else up here to play Talk About. Why don't you come up and play Talk About it
with Timbits.
You get a prize.
Do you understand?
Come on up here, you Querelle de
Bois. Talk About, you just have to come up with things that are legitimate about the topic at
Captain
hand.
Haddock looking motherfucker.
And you have...
Highlighter.
Okay, you ready?
Right.
In 5 seconds, you're going to do 20 seconds of Timbit talk. You ready? Five.
And I'll say ding every time there's a word that would obviously have to do with Timbits.
And you ring them in.
Yeah. Kay. And if you get 5 words, we'll give you a toque.
Okay. Three.
We'll give you a toque anyway.
Two,
spoiler alert.
One. Talk about Timbits.
Well, they're a bunch of little hockey kids that like to run around on the ice. They're great in coffee.
Ooh.
Ding.
Definitely get them in the morning, I find. They're round. They're
ding.
Chocolate.
Ding.
Honey.
Ding.
Coconut.
Ding.
Cream filled.
No, 5 seconds.
Jelly filled.
Ding.
Sour cream glaze.
Ding.
Ding. Ding. Nice work.
Yeah.
Nice. There's a hat for you, bud. Why don't you take an I'm a Bud sticker, too?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And have a white and a black cock.
I always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
Hit the Post is one of my favorite games that we play, too. And COQK was one of the first radio stations that we came up with. I rock the cock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first, I think that was episode like 27 and 28. That was the first time, I think, in our early going that I was like, this is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said before, I think because of my background, I assumed that a podcast had to be produced. Act one is a guest, act two is a game, act three is a top five. And it was the buds that listen that encouraged us to just swim in a stream of consciousness and trust our riffs.
Yeah.
And when we don't really have a roadmap, that's what allows for the, like, what was the name of that movie with Rosie O'Donnell? Oh, yeah, riding on the bus with my sister. And suddenly we're playing a clip of Rosie O'Donnell riding on the bus with her sister.
And then someone's like, holy fuck, you guys were talking about that movie? That comes up. I got a tweet the other day. I just discovered riding on the bus with my sister, and I'm dying.
I think the best compliment we get is when people say they feel like they're in the back seat on a car trip with us.
But isn't that like the worst movie of all time when like someone who's funny tried to be serious in a movie? Is that the best one ever?
I mean, it can kind of work.
That's up there.
If you're Robin Williams and you go full Dead Poets Society, that can really work.
When he's squishing his mouth together?
Oh, I don't know, sport. Anytime he has a beard or glasses, look out. Robin Williams ain't effing around.
When he's closing his mouth and he's doing this, look out.
But at the same time, I want Jim Carrey to talk out of his rectum. I don't want him to be serious.
Yeah.
And I think there is a message to be said for staying in your own lane. Mark Ford probably disagrees because you think you should stretch yourself and do whatever you want as a performer.
But when Rosie O'Donnell did it, it was just like, this, I'm not getting this.
I was in Jim Carrey's basement for reasons I won't bore you with. And every costume from every movie he's ever done is hanging in a glass like case. Like, oh, there's the tank top from Ace Ventura. There's the thing from The Grinch.
Like by the pool table.
Yeah.
He's like this. Yeah, that's right. That's like fucking museum. Right. That's the real mask.
Yeah, it was.
You're grabbing a shot of rye. That's the real mask behind it.
Interesting bit of trivia. They shot The Mask before Ace Ventura. Ooh. But they delayed the release of it, and then Ace Ventura came out of nowhere and did huge at the box office. So the masks that made The Mask were stoked because they could release it after he was already big time box office.
I thought
name.
That mask was the first time he really got paid.
No. No, that's
completely
backwards.
I thought that was his big first $20 million picture. But he started
he wrote a check to his dad for $10 million, right, and put it in his dad's coffin. So that's
he's like, I got this coffin, don't you worry.
Yeah. What? Approach what? The mic. If you're gonna interject, mic.
Mark has a question about Jim Carrey's career.
So Truman Show, he's pounding on the wall.
That was good.
Heartbroken.
I like that.
That's stepping outside his fucking
comfort zone. Yeah.
Why are we not?
I've actually been in the same argument with somebody who's saying, why can't he be serious? Because he actually pulls
really
it off.
He's beautiful when he's serious.
He's not bad when he's serious. Like
Eternal
I thought
Sunshine of the Spotless Mask?
Yeah, that's a good one. You didn't like that?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Come on.
I'm going to step away, but I think.
Did you like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mask?
I have not seen that.
I did.
But the moment where he is on that boat, someone stick. Deer shirts.
Cable guy?
For me.
Sit down, fancy hats.
Eternal Sunshine?
No. Truman Show.
Truman Show was a good movie because it was an interesting concept. I think the Truman Show could have lived or died without Carrey or with Carrey.
I disagree. I think his moments at the end of that movie, I looked at him as a different person.
Really? You pulled it off. There you go.
Thank you. I'm going to walk away from the
Here's what
I'll agree with that.
Sometimes when you gotta pull out of your lanes, you know when you're driving down the highway and you're like, "Oh my God, I just missed that truck," and you're in a different lane. All of a sudden, you feel alive.
That's true. What's that guy's name again?
Mark Forward.
Right. It's true. I feel the urge as someone who makes funny faces on the TV to try different things all the time. It's nice of you to say, every time like I do step out of my lane, I roll my own eyes at myself going, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're doing that to yourself.
The older
what about
I
if
get,
you're doing, when, like when he, if, I think it was when I told you wearing a perm, pretending to be Gordon Lightfoot, serious. That's when you're like, yeah, this isn't going to work. When you pictured the wig and like him saying, you know, retracting the Nanaimo bars from Bernie.
You have to remember, my feeling that I could play with Gordon Lightfoot, first of all, was 40 pounds ago. And second of all, it was before Chris Pratt came along, who looks a lot like Gordon Lightfoot. He really does. Yeah. And anytime the subject of Gordon Lightfoot in a movie about Gordon Lightfoot comes up, people are like, oh, Chris Pratt, that's obvious.
Yeah.
But I can sing like Gordon Lightfoot, and nobody loves Gordon Lightfoot more than me. Lindsay, maybe.
And you actually, when you talk like him, I think I like that character more than Gordon Lightfoot.
Hey,
there's something about Gordy.
He's
like,
vulnerable, and that's what you've grown to like about him. But this is the question: if I was to play Gordon Lightfoot in a motion picture, much the same way that Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, is that good acting, or is that impersonating, or are the two separate? Mark Forward.
What is now that
Jamie Foxx
pretty strange. This has turned into another...
Jamie Foxx did an incredible job debating. As Ray Charles. It cannot be denied.
Debating.
But is that acting or is that aping?
I just want the listeners at home to know I'm walking a long distance.
Yeah. It's like 12 feet.
And I'm not getting paid to walk that
distance. No, it's true. That's true.
Just
and every time I return to the mic, they're like, who?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Yeah. No, you were defending the concept
well,
of...
I was saying Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles unbelievably well.
Yeah, well, if you were playing Gordon Lightfoot, you wouldn't make those dumb faces on video.
The faces that Jamie Foxx made as Ray Charles?
Well, Ray Charles never saw that.
Oh. It's true.
Yep. And the
died before the movie came out.
Like when I could just picture Gord making a desperate batch of Nanaimo bars, just cringing when the coconuts fucked up.
I think there's nothing wrong with easy jokes. One of the funniest jokes I ever heard was the day that Stevie Wonder got separated from his wife.
What?
Is that he and his wife have decided to not see other people. Sometimes you want to have... It's like Swiss Chalet. You want to know what you're getting in a joke. There it is. It'll make your tummy feel warm.
Have you ever seen his house?
Stevie Wonder's?
Yeah.
No.
Neither
has he. Oh. Good luck cutting that audio in from the back of the room, Tim.
Yeah. That's all right. Not me.
It's almost time to wind it down, if you can even believe that.
Wind it down.
Yeah. Yeah, look at this. Don't you people have a life?
I think... did Jewel herself retweet that?
Yeah. I'd give my eye teeth for her to... does anyone have a question before we wind things down?
Like 60?
Do you have a question? Approach the mic, Wes. But make it count, bud.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I get like 15 ABC sub-questions.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
A documentary.
Let's hear it.
Do you guys have a favorite episode, or do you think there's like one or two favorite fan episodes?
Oh, okay.
Of the beautiful... It's a good question. 100, and yeah. Congratulations.
Well, I'll start this with you answer the fan. What's your favorite episode? Because that would be our favorite fan episode, probably. Huh?
Nice.
The next one. Yeah,
always
see?
The next one. Nobody I like that. Quit podcasting. You should just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Mark, there
you
go. Mark's going to get back on her.
I wasn't looking at some other guy.
Come on, Mark.
Merrick Manders or anyone like that. I wasn't looking that way.
Tonight's the night Mark is going to announce he's going back to the podcast.
Yes.
The Mark Forward podcast.
Mark Forward podcast is fantastic.
It's very funny.
It should get back on it again. It's not. It's dead. He says no.
I think he's been bitten by the bug here tonight.
Honestly, like, I think you said it. I mean, whenever we do it, it's like a conversation, the podcast. So, I mean, I don't know if we have favorite moments, but not like an episode where... But there's been episodes where sometimes we think an episode's okay, and then we listen to it and we like it even more. Or, you know, you think something's great and it's not the same as you remembered it. So I think this whole thing from the beginning has just been our personalities having fun. So, I mean, the next one is always the favorite for me.
I've learned a lot from Jeremy about trusting my instincts, and if something's kind of fun, to spend a few minutes in it, because my default is always to move on and keep it moving and not let people get bored. It's kind of how I think, and it's kind of how I live. But Jeremy has really taught me the art of drilling down on a notion to explore it and see if there's something more funny there. Like... Andrea and them is probably the thing that, of everything we've done, makes me feel the most excited, because as a TV show, I can see it. It incorporates all the bad elements of the worst TV shows ever.
Yeah.
But like all good ones, it has a heart. And even though it's born out of a cliche, the relationship between Andrea and Laramie is actually worth exploring. And Gary Lake, their landlord, like, it's all there, man. Yeah. So
CBC, figure it out.
It's a little meta, but I would play Andrea, and I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow night. But I would play Andrea in a show.
Yeah.
Like that would be stepping outside the lane in a way that feels fun and comfortable.
Yeah, Andrea's stuck in the dryer again.
Yeah.
Get me out.
Oh. One, I did, I was doing these messages for folks over the Christmas holidays, and I did a couple as Andrea. And for some reason, Andrea had a package come in to Pure Laters, and she's working by herself, and she's right busy, and she kind of panicked. And one of them's leaking powder, and it was white. And she bent down, she just kind of gave it a sniff right quick, and then she got right excited, and she might have blacked out, and she got in the Cavalier, went through Horton's drive through, and she pounded a 12-pack of Timbits. And then she didn't really know what happened, so when she went back, she took another sniff of it, and she got right excited again. So... Andrea's already fired up, but Andrea on unintentional cocaine feels like, I don't know what happened to my car lashes.
Again.
Yeah, I just gave it a sniff right quick, and this guy came in with $50 bills, and he said, if you take this, there's more packages where that came from. So Laramie's not answering his phone. I feel right slimy, like I don't even know what to do.
All of a sudden, my stupid ideas are great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a season finale.
I know.
Like, really?
The thing is, the relationship between Andrea and Laramie is actually... You can sit down if you want. I know you're thinking about it.
Yeah. I just don't know. If
you're good. No, you're good.
We're good.
The relationship between Andrea and Laramie is actually pretty real. She deep down loves him, but she pretends she doesn't. He doesn't love her and pretends he doesn't.
But he likes her a lot.
Yeah. And she keeps hoping that one night after too many Frosty Soldiers and some nachos at Sneaky D's... He might get wandering hands and things might happen, but it's probably not going to. And I think we can share the one thing that that we plan to do is Andrea's sister comes to visit and she's gorgeous. And all of a sudden, Laramie's like, you can sleep in my bedroom. I won't think of you sleeping on the couch. Like, all of a sudden, he's super gentleman to Andrea's sister.
Her about her sister is even funny.
I'm going to warn you, you get bit by the snake. I'd stay away from that thing. She's open for business. If she was a wall, she'd be load-bearing. Like, I want to shoot that show. Mike McFarlane, you have a question. Is it about the party room and what time we have to be out of here?
No. We got 3 hours.
Do
we?
Nice.
Actually, just more of a statement, more than anything. So when I first started working with you guys, the very first podcast you guys put up, I was literally in the bathroom at the ACC helping... When Jeremy sent it to me, getting it up on my web server at the time. The fact that 100 is hosted here at my place means the world to me. So thank you guys.
Awesome. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you
for everything.
Thanks for getting us online, bot.
How did you come up with the idea to put up a website? Like, did you even ask us or did you just do that?
I did it because I don't even know why I did it. I was just thinking one afternoon, like, oh, it'd be fun to make a website. And I think I maybe have sent Jared.
Well, you showed me, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic.
I made it like 1996 style, like really old school, all that. And it just kind of evolved from there. And then having guys like Wes and Andrew send me stuff to put up on the website, and everyone.
Now people will be like, I went on that site. It's like, who the hell? You guys have some high tech shit going on. How do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just this bud. He's the king of all buds.
No, it's just more just I believe what you guys do and just it's
thank
a
you.
Hobby
Thanks,
for
man.
Me and it's fun for me. So thank you guys for giving me up.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
He's a beauty, bud. The neat thing has been people like Mike and Andrew and, as I said, the first responder buds. There's a guy named Derek in Winnipeg who got my number on the internet and called me and said, I think you guys need some merchandise.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I have a company. I could make some for you. I said, okay, so what would you be looking at for a deal? And he's like, I just think you should have some merchandise, and I'm not even worried about it.
Yeah.
So,
and he's like, I'll just send you some merch. And
including these bud toques, including the t-shirts. He's made all kinds of stuff, including the Rock the Cock stickers.
Yeah.
We have yet to pay him a dime. And I keep saying, please, can we give you Canadian currency for the work that you've done? He's like, I'm not really worried about it. And I think I'm not really worried about it has been the underlying kind of current through these 100 episodes from listeners and maybe from the people who make the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And that's been really special. Do you know what I mean? It's Canadianity, man.
Let's quickly get our boy Chris and Paul up here.
Yeah, let's hear what the Flatliners
are going
to be
up to. I want to see what's going on. Come on.
This is...
Flatliners got some stuff coming.
Flatliners are a big part of our history because our first ever live show, and we didn't even know it would translate, was at Canadian Music Week at the Rivoli in Toronto.
Yeah.
And the Flatliners agreed for some reason to play on the show, and they actually backed
Let's even take it up. It was through our bud, Adam Kreeft, who's their bud. Yes.
So you guys learned Ahead by Century and played it, and I rapped it as J-Rock, the 2108 Bounce With Me, Y'all. And that meant a lot to us. It meant a lot to us that people came. It meant a lot to us that you would donate your time to come and play on the show, because we know you didn't get paid what you're used to making.
Oh, we got a lot of money that left.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. We got paid very handsome.
Emotional currency.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
So you guys have a record coming out.
Yeah.
We do. We got a record coming out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice going back there.
Yeah.
We're
going to
be spending 2017 friggin' gigging.
Yeah. Friggin' gigging. I love it. You have a jersey with that on it?
Now, in a crazy twist of events, you've also spent some time at Sneaky D's.
Yeah.
This is very true.
And where the nachos are great.
Fantastic nachos.
And when I asked you how busy it is on certain nights of the week, you said Wednesday night is?
Hip-hop night.
And it's?
Cheap beer night.
And it's so busy that it's?
Oh, it's nuts to butts.
It's nuts to butts in there.
It's nuts to butts.
If ever there was an advertisement for a place you want to go on a Wednesday night.
Gotta get a billboard on the roof.
It's nuts to butts on hump day.
Yes. Thank you guys.
When's the record coming out?
Yeah.
In the spring.
No, right on.
No concrete. You know, just it's in the air.
In the spring, like our tour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go see the Flatliners anywhere across Canada or indeed the world, because you guys are going to Europe and everything.
We are.
Yes, you're going to Europe.
Yeah.
Paul's going to be there too. Say hello, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, Paul. And do you guys spell Europe Y-U-R-P like we do in the Maritimes?
Europe.
Are you going to Europe? They actually say over in Europe. I heard them Flatliners were over in Europe.
There's a few R's in that Europe.
Yeah,
but you guys are big in Europe, though. That's big time in Europe.
We're trying to keep real in Europe.
I see on the Instagram the big, huge crowds in Europe.
This is like...
Yeah, but then there's always the folks in Germany and everywhere that, you know, say, well, last time I saw you, you were not as fat, and you had a lot more fun, and it seemed like it was a good time that time, and this time I drove about 400 or 500 kilometers to see the show, and it was not as good.
Really?
I could tell.
They're so blunt.
It was still fun for you, so that's fun for me, I suppose. I have to go. I'll see you next time.
Really? It's a pretty legit accent right there.
Everyone's
I know, it's great.
Fantastic.
I was talking about this on the pod. We were just in Germany in the fall, and I don't speak German, but I speak English with a German accent. So I'd go into a coffee shop and say, can I have 2 Blaubeer muffins? Because people would speak to me in German because they would just assume I was German.
Midway through a stroke.
So I know how to say it's Blaubeer muffins. That's how you say blueberry muffins. Blaubeer muffins. So if you guys were on CBC call-in show on PEI, I would say, can you see even walk down the street in Europe, or are you straight recognized?
We're still in with the shadows, baby.
Yeah, I want to hear like a German guy who went to see a show of the Flats interviewed by someone in PEI. What's the show like? Well, I drove 500 kilometers. It was not as good.
The sound was shit, and I didn't know who's responsible for this, and I have no idea who. I don't know, because I have to drive home.
The sound was shit. The sound was scheiße. Go see the Flats anywhere they are.
Yes, thanks, you guys.
Fellas.
Thanks.
And thanks for the Timbits.
Much love for the TNT Bucks. Happy 100.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. Thanks for the 100 Timbits.
Tim, will you come to the mic for 1 second?
Tim, come on.
Tim Oxford, everybody. I mean, we've alluded to the fact that Tim is very generous with his time.
Yes.
You're obviously in a busy rock combo, playing all over the world and blowing the roof off places.
Blowing up.
And it is unbelievable
off.
To us.
Tarps off.
Tarps off.
It's unbelievable to us that you take the time to put together the pod every week, and I know it's a labor of love for you. It's not a labor of money. But tell us some of the things that the Arkells are getting up to in the next few months. What are you doing?
Hitting the road as usual, just nonstop. And
you got the big Coachella coming up this year.
We do, yeah.
That's a hot gig.
Shaky Knees, a lot of festivals, a lot of touring. More of the same.
And you're playing with Beyonce.
Yeah.
She's opening for you guys at Coachella.
That's right.
That's crazy.
I didn't know, but they told me there was an opener I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Now, are you just going to get to meet her, or you just don't know that till you get there?
We'll find out day off, man.
When you go to a festival, though, as a band, is it a fun experience because you get to partake, or you really just drop in and drop out?
Depends on the day. If you're moving on, like if you have a lot of, you know, kilometers to make up the next day, then you're in and out. If you have some time, it's nice to be able to, you know, stick around. And
isn't it funny, though, like when you go to concerts as a younger person, and then when you're playing them all the time, you're like, whatever, salad?
Yeah. How fast festivals get ruined for you. Festivals get ruined for you so fast. Yeah. You're sitting in an air-conditioned trailer with a case of beer.
Yeah.
It's not the same as, you know, blazing sun for 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you're in one of the biggest rock bands in Canada.
Yeah.
What's going on with my mic?
It's sinking. It's I've been watching their mics just sink. These
no, they're not. Have, been in have to keep your right humble.
They've just been sinking on you all night.
But. What a bod.
Thanks for being a bod, Tim.
Congrats on the 100.
Hey, nice. Thank you. Nice.
Here's the Timbo.
Here's the Timbo. Yeah, Timbo. To Timbo. It feels like a good place to wrap it up.
Yes.
Yeah. We should leave with the usual caveat that we plan to get to Western Canada and even BC this time. I'd like to get to Yellowknife and like places up north as well.
That would be fun.
We really hope to get to Fort Mac.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. There's some great places all across this country that we hope to take Taggart and Torrens in the next year. Thanks for listening to the first 100 episodes. Yeah. You have a question, quick like
what's
a bunny?
What's up, Paul?
The retweets.
The retweets? Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, nice. The recap. 40.
Okay. What's that?
40 retweets.
40
retweets.
40?
Come on.
Okay, so we're the this is the small hands tweet from Jewel.
Okay, so Kara's still in play with 25. Dale, 250, you're done. Yep. Jackie, 75, you're done.
I had faith.
It's what?
Tim Oxford, 131, you're out.
74, 78.
I like it, though.
How many is it at?
40.
Ooh, that's out. Paul, 49.
But Paul's over.
Where is everybody?
Where's Steve?
Steve.
Yeah. Congratulations, bud. Yeah.
Nice.
Closest two without going over. Round of applause for Steve. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, buds.
We'll see you next week for 101.
Nice.
This is a great rehearsal. Let's do it for real.
Hey, we're on the Taggart and Torrens podcast.
About time.
Episode 100. We were on the first episode.
Yeah.
And now we're on the 100th episode.
My first appearance and only. I had a bad cell phone connection. It was the worst appearance of this entire podcast.
You tend to have a problem with bad cell phones. Too much wind where you are when you're when you're doing interviews. I'm doing interviews while you're sitting on the toilet literally after eating 7 or 8 burritos. Why do you do such a thing?
Falsehoods. Hate burritos.
Alternative facts?
Yes, that was an
That's
alternative
I just
fact.
Presented to you?
Hey, what do you know? 100 episodes. I didn't think it'd get past 2.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with what you guys have been able to accomplish. Traveling across the country, touring, doing live shows. You guys are the best. We love you. And just want to say congratulations on 100 episodes. And here's to 1,000 more. If you don't get to 1,100 podcasts, then you can consider yourselves failures.
Two Canadian icons, admit it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. They should be on the, Jeremy should be on the dime, and Jonathan should be on the 15-cent piece.
Why is there no Mount Rushmore in Canada?
Yeah, it would be Jeremy, Jonathan, Jerry D, and Saul the Clown.
And people pull up, they see Saul. Ah!
Oh my God! No, that's what they say about Jerry D. Jerry's a good buddy.
You guys are awesome. We love you guys. And seriously, you guys are legends.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Boom,